Albies. He cracks one in the air to deep left center field. This one will challenge the wall. This ball is gone. Ozzie Albies gives the Braves a 5-1 lead.
The 1-1 pitch. Here's a swing, and he popped him up. Down the right field line with a stay in play. Drifting over, Margot into foul territory near the sidewall. Makes the catch. Flips over the wall. Did he hold on? Yes, he did. What a catch in right field by Manuel Margot. Oh, my.
Takes a gun snap. Saints bring pressure. Quick throw near side. Caught. And take it down short of midfield. He's not going to get to the first down marker. And the Saints defense ends this game. Marshawn Lattimore with a big tackle.
It's already Tuesday.
Almost halfway. Well, we are halfway to the batting cage, aren't we? Yeah, that is actually. Is that what you were talking about?
No, I was just saying it's already Tuesday.
Oh, you're talking about the week.
Yeah, it's already Tuesday. I mean,
I thought you meant that you're licking your chops for the batting cages.
Well, yeah, I am doing
I'm getting kind of worried.
Why are you getting kind of worried about the batting cage?
Because guys in the major leagues can't hit 90.
You were aware when Some we made this bet that it was 90 miles an hour, not 90
I thought you
kilometers.
Meant kilometers an hour. This is, I want to hold on. Let's rewind the tape. Was it 90 miles or kilometers?
I'm telling you right now, I would not have made a bet with you on 90 kilometers an hour. That's like 55, 60 miles per hour. I told you, I went to a batting cage in Grand Bend like 15 years ago. And I was crushing.
You could do it.
I could, yes. 60 miles an hour? Well, we're going to ramp up. We're going to warm up. I'll show you. I played old man softball until I had to retire due to a wonky shoulder caused by a diving catch that I made heroically. My team might have been losing by 10 at the time, but still, it was a great catch. Just injured my shoulder. So, I have the ability. Do you think I suck? You think I can't even hit the slow stuff? I didn't ask Silent Vic. I know what Silent Vic thinks.
I think it's going to be tough on our bodies if we haven't been hitting or been haven't really been active. It's been... I'm part of the pandemic crew that hasn't done much. Like, I went to a gym once, and by the way, UFT shut down. All indoor sports and the gyms all shut down. I went in for a workout. I had my whole week all set out, and then we just shut down for 28 days on Sunday. But I'm part of the group that I can't work out at home. I can't do yoga. I can't do push-ups in my living room. I can't do that stuff. So I think we're both going to hurt.
Oh, okay. So I couldn't tell where you were going with that. If you were actually trying to remove this bet, if you were trying to
I'm going.
Okay.
No, we're going. I will say this, like, disclaimer, my left arm is bad. So don't be surprised if it's, you know, one and done.
Well, just
I hit one and I'm done. I need to hit one, right? I need contact with one ball at 90.
Right. And the ball has to go forward.
That's fine.
It can't be a foul tip into your
shin.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Can't be a foul tip that just goes to the backstop or the screen. So we're doing this Thursday after the show, and it's going to be all over social media. And the bet what do you mean, well?
We'll talk about it.
We've got the Sportsnet social media crew coming. They're not coming for the good of their health.
We don't need to film this, do we?
The revolution will be televised.
You don't think I'm going to hit a 90, an 80, or a 70. That's what I think you're at right now.
Filled in for Jeff Blair yesterday afternoon on Baseball Central. And Kevin Barker was in. And, of course, Kevin played in the majors, played for the Blue Jays for a little bit in 2006. And we have invited him to be part of all of this on Thursday. And he was telling me that he's 50-50 right now because of the car situation and all that. So we were talking about what we're doing on Thursday. And I casually said to him, Ziggy thinks he can hit 90 miles an hour. And Barker looked at me, dead-eyed. And, you know, Barker with his southern accent, he says, no chance. No chance. So that's Kevin Barker's analysis is no chance. No chance that you hit 90.
I'm getting a little concerned now that it's the week is here and it's coming in 2 days. And I haven't hit a baseball in 10 years.
Okay,
15,
but
maybe longer, maybe 15 years. I haven't swung a bat.
When we started talking about this, you were going on and on. You were pretty much Al Bundy about your high school baseball career. I was at Father Michael McGivney and I played the outfield and I caught every ball hit to me and I could hit and da 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 da. And so honestly, now you've gone from 17-year-old Ziggy, who was apparently going to be a Major League Baseball star had you chosen baseball and not hockey, to I'm broken down. I'm getting a little more nervous as we get closer to this. Oh, Kevin Barker says I can't hit 90. Oh, geez. Well, my elbow hurts.
Get it ready. Get the foot down early. Hit's coming.
There you
there
go.
There we go. That's all I need. Honestly, the guys on TV make it look so easy. It's like, okay, a guy just tosses the ball towards the plate. Just put a bat on it. How hard is that? Oh, speaking about bats, do I have to go and get a bat? Like, or
no,
will they have bats there?
I think they'll provide some. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't care what you use, whether it's wooden, aluminum, use whatever you want. Use whatever you want. I'm good.
I could probably.
I don't think it's going to matter, is my point.
No.
But you're going to feel really good about yourself because we'll get Silk Gentilly and Silent Vic and others into the cage. And Hayden,
no, we're all going to try to hit a 90, though. We're all going to do it.
Yes. Yeah. The bet is only for you on the 90, though, but we'll build up. We'll build up, hit 60, and see who does what. And as we get to the faster and harder pitches.
I just don't want them coming inside at all. I want to make sure the machine is. That's the one thing about baseball that I'm not too high on is, like, I don't like the balls in.
I don't think the pitching machine has emotions. In and high. I don't think the pitching machine has emotions. I don't think it's going to buzz one under your chin just because you start crowding the plate. I don't think if you jack one at 60 miles per hour, it's going to ramp up at 75.
I just saying I need to see it to make sure it's not coming in and high, okay? I'm going to need to see the machine throw a couple first.
Oh.
Sorry, but that's my one. That's what I don't like about baseball is the balls that come in. Because you can't get out of the way. What are you going to do? You take one off the chin, that's it. You think you're going to move out of the way?
I would be more worried for you about fouling one downward off your shin.
That's what I'm worried. I told you about that's and my other worry is I'm going to hit the ball. It's going to hit me right after. Like, I'm worried I'm going to get one off the head. Like, I'm going to swing at one. It's going to come off. Right at me.
It's going to bounce and then come up and right under
whatever
your chin.
I don't even know where it's just gonna. I'm gonna hit it and it's gonna hit me after.
Well, whatever,
I don't know how, but
whatever happens, it will be all over social media.
I know.
We'll
whatever
only
happens,
pick, only pick the best. Only pick the best options. But we're looking forward to that. We're going to do that on Thursday up in Vaughan, and we'll obviously talk about it on the show on Friday. And the bet is pretty simple. If you don't make contact with a 90 mile an hour pitch, you've got to grow a handlebar mustache for a week.
It's fine.
And
that's fine.
And if you do
the cause stash.
Yes. Yes. The Sammy cause. And if you do make contact and ground out or hit a line drive or whatever, that would shock me. So if I don't keel over and I'm still able to exist, I have to, once we're through COVID, I have to throw on head-to-toe goalie equipment, and I have to stand in net and take shots from you and a couple of your U of T players.
Yeah, I might bring a couple ringers in, actually, for that, just some high heat, just to make sure you get the full experience, Throw a couple 90-mile an hour.
How long? You say it hasn't been 15 years since you swung a bat. How long has it been since you shot a puck?
Yeah, it's been...
Because you may aim to put it past my head, and you may put it right off the cage. Right
off the cage. That's the whole point, right? That they don't go wide. They actually do hit you. Oh, I can't wait. I want to go to the batting cages. I was going to go early, but nothing's open, obviously. And, I'm actually worried I'm going to get hurt before the actual batting cage day. Like, I won't be able to move for a week or two after. It's going to be that bad.
Doug in Brantford is picking at you on the text line, 590-590. Ziggy didn't get in front of pucks when he played hockey, so he's definitely not getting out of the ball.
Oh, my goodness. Is that a former teammate of mine?
I don't know. Doug in Brantford. You know a Doug from Brantford? Did you play hockey with from Brantford?
I played with a lot of guys. Yeah. You want to know what? I used to block shots. Thank you very much. Not my whole career, but for certain select times, I did block shots.
You need to show up in your shin pads, your old hockey knee pads.
Is it bad if I show up with a full bucket on at the batting cages? No,
I'd whatever you need to do to make this.
Imagine I show up in a hockey helmet with a cage on.
Oh, yeah. Mouth guard and everything. Just puckering your words.
What jersey do I wear? I've got my own Blue Jays jersey with my name and number on the back. Question.
I've got it. I know which one I'm going to wear. But I have to go down into the basement of my building to my storage unit and find it. But I think I know where it is. I know which jersey I'm going to wear.
Do you have a lot of, do you have a lot of baseball jerseys?
No. Well, I was jersey guy in the early 2000s. I don't live my life by jersey rules. I know that there are some people who think once you turn 30 or 35, you should stop being jersey guy. I just happened to stop being jersey guy in my mid-20s. So I've got my Brian McCabe, Darcy Tucker, Matt Sundin, Leafs jerseys. And I've got a couple of baseball jerseys. And I'm not going to reveal who they are now because I think I'm going to wear one of them. Let's just say the steroid era will be properly represented at the batting cage on Thursday. That's your hint. Now
you're a Barry Bonds guy for sure.
You know which team I cheer for, Ziggy.
Okay.
The Chicago Cubs.
You're gonna go there? Oh, I saw him play after he stopped the supplements.
It wasn't quite the same. It wasn't quite the same.
He didn't look the same and he couldn't hit a baseball.
Have you seen him now? They don't even know who we're talking about. We're talking about Sammy Sosa. Have you seen him now?
Yes.
Google Sammy Sosa 2020 or 2019.
It doesn't look good.
It's.
Yeah. I think that happens to a lot of guys though. Once you stop using them, your career's done.
He doesn't
go the other way.
He doesn't look like the same person. He's got green eyes, so he must be wearing contact lenses.
Told you the Sammy Sosa story. They tried to rent my friend's house in Colorado and he bailed at the last minute.
So what?
Sammy Sosa tried to rent a house. I have like these family friends outside of Aspen in the Down Valley, and apparently Sammy Sosa tried to rent their house for a large amount of money. Like, I've never heard rent for a month go for this amount of money. And it's a big house. It's like 6-7 bedrooms. And he signed the contract and then he bailed at the last minute. So they had to get their house ready. They rented out throughout the summer months in Aspen. He bails the last minute, doesn't pay them nothing. They spent all this money getting the house ready. They usually do it once or twice a year. And yeah, he bailed and like they took him to like they got a lawyer and everything involved. Like it was crazy because it was Sammy's like Sammy's company or whoever. Like he doesn't do it through his name. It's his name through a company. But yeah, he bailed at the last minute and wasn't allowed to. So yeah, Sammy Sosa is not high in our books.
Sammy Sosa is not high in our books. We have it out for him.
Yeah.
We need to do a segment called 6 Degrees of Ziggy, where each and every day you tell a story about how you have an indirect connection to an extremely famous actor or athlete or something.
I've got lots of them. You just gotta pry them out.
We'll get Big Voice Guy to do a 6 Degrees of Ziggy and you can tell us all about how Jack Nicholson didn't show up to some promised event or how
whatever you
Don
want.
Rickles I robbed your house once or something. I think, it's just stuff that happens to you. That's really what the segment's going to be, stuff that happens to you. That is, of course, if you survive the hitting cage on Thursday. So we're doing that Thursday after the show. The Sportsnet social media crew will be out and we'll post everything and we'll talk about it on Friday. And we, I mean, I'm going to have to, if you hit this ball, I'm going to have to think about this for a long time because we can't do this until it's safe to do it. The COVID stuff, right? The me getting on the goalie equipment.
Yeah, it's not happening for at least 4 weeks.
Right. So we got to get on the ice when it's safe. And so I'm going to have to stew on this. Whereas you can just shave your 5 o'clock shadow for Monday and rock the handlebar for a week. And since you don't go out, the only person you're going to scare is Doris when you take out the trash. She's not going to recognize you. I bet you she will call the city.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe she'll.
Who's the new guy living next door to me and she leaves me alone?
Yeah, maybe she starts treating you nicely. You find out that it was you she didn't like and now she thinks you're someone else and all of a sudden couldn't be kinder or gentler. Couldn't be a more agreeable neighbor.
I haven't seen Doris in a while, so.
Oh, no.
Let's not bring that up. Yeah, the things are good right now.
Oh, things are good.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. Usually when somebody who's always out in their front lawn isn't out on their front lawn anymore, something might have happened.
I've seen her around. There hasn't been any communication. Like, we haven't talked about anything, which is, I'm okay with that. Things are good.
So you're raking.
No issues.
You're raking your leaves and doing
my
all
leaves
your...
are being raked. Yes, my grass is cut. The weeds are being pulled. I'm actually doing something pretty interesting next week. Maybe we can talk about later in the week.
Okay.
My lawn, yeah. I might need some turf advice. Our listeners, we get some turf people out there for sure.
Dude, my name is Scott. That doesn't mean that I run that Scott's Turf Company. You can. Don't,
I do have some Scott's products. I have actually many Scott's products.
The extent of my involvement with Scott is my name. I'm not a turf guy.
I need help. I'm going to aerate the lawn. You know, you run the machine by it and you dig the holes.
Oh, and it digs the holes and then it looks like a bunch of dog crap is all over your lawn.
Yeah, that. I'm going to get that done, but I got to rent the machine. I got the sand coming because you spread sand all over your lawn after. That's what someone told me to do. So it's a big job, but I'm going to need some help with that. So we'll reach out to the listeners throughout the week.
We'll throw the text line open at the appropriate time and you can take whatever advice that people have. So Alex Pietrangelo finally lands. Like, we're sitting there yesterday morning. Chris Versteeg was on with us, and I'm sitting there going, like, what the hell's taking so long here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was he actually, and Versteeg was saying, well, you know, there might be a little bit of a Boston connection. Maybe the Bruins are going to surprise people and jump in on this. And, I mean, I've followed this as closely as I can. It seems like Pietrangelo did everything except, you know, lose 100,000 at the Mirage. You know, like he toured the city. He'd been there for 48 hours. It just seemed a fait accompli. And then it was one of those things where when the announcement was made, Elliot Friedman broke the story, $61.6 million over 7 years. How quickly was the subsequent move going to be made? And sure enough, before we went to bed last night, Vegas completed a trade sending Nate Schmidt to Vancouver for a third round pick. Now, here is my question to you. Does the acquisition of Nate Schmidt by the Vancouver Canucks save Jim Benning's offseason? Because it has not been a pretty 3 days. Jacob Markstrom, arguably the best goaltender of the bunch on the free agency market, leaves for division rival Calgary for 6 years and $36 million. And then earlier yesterday, Tyler Toffoli, who the Canucks traded for last winter leading up to the deadline and who played, what, only a dozen or more than a dozen games of the regular season with the Canucks. Tyler Toffoli signs a contract for 4 years with Montreal for $4.25 million per year. How could Vancouver not have afforded that? Or how could they have not made the subsequent moves to be able to fit that? into their cap situation. Tyler Toffoli, in a regular offseason, Ziggy, hitting the unrestricted free agency market, is a north of $6 million guy, maybe in the $7 million range.
Yeah, but they needed a defenseman. They needed more defense. That's the issue why Toffoli didn't come back at that number. I don't think they wanted Toffoli back at that number even. I know people...
Even at 4.25?
Yeah, I had a couple of calls last night, and then I'm on Twitter looking, and people hold their arms up like, what's Vancouver doing? How could they not give him that deal? I don't think they wanted him back at that number. That's what I mean, great player. I love the way he plays. Somebody like that would fit in Toronto really well. And I know there was some rumors, you know, a couple years ago, right? He was there, at least were looking to target him, but no, good player. Just I don't think Vancouver saw him as a fit at that number, even with going forward with the flat cap, especially. You got to remember now that you pick up Schmidt, the Canucks are at almost at $80 million. So they're not exactly free. They're, you know what I mean? They're right up against the cap. I don't know what else Jim Benning is supposed to do. And I know I'm pro Jim Benning. He's a guy that drafted me into the NHL in 99. I think he's done a great job there. It's a young team. You got to keep that as part of your core going forward. You don't want to start stripping it down, giving away your future. They haven't done that.
The counter argument is, and nobody's 100% to the right and 0% to the wrong. Like, there are mistakes that get made, but the counter argument is why didn't you buy out Louis Erickson? That Jay Beagle contract is problematic at this point. Mm-hmm. Brandon Sutter is overpaid for what he brings. So why don't you move on from one or two of those guys in the Erickson situation? Why didn't you take advantage of the buyout window? Then you could retain a guy like Toffoli, who's good, to score you 20, 25 goals.
Yeah, I don't know with Louis Erickson, right? He's got a no trade clause, right?
Well, no trade doesn't. If no move would be the one that would,
I know,
prevent you from.
He's age 35. You got to look at what percentage of it, and if he buys him out, it stays on the cap, right? What you have to really worry about, right?
The contract was signed before he was 35. He's got a modified no trade.
Yeah,
he's got a 15-team no trade list.
And they've got two more years at $6 million is the hit, right? So, yeah, I think a lot of those buyouts you're gonna get ownership involved, and then you as an owner, you're gonna say, do I want to spend this money on a guy I'm gonna lose, or do we just keep him and we can use him at further down our lineup or a different part? You know what I mean? That's a conversation I think you have with your GM. When you want to buy a guy out, right, you kind of weigh both sides of, you know, of keeping a guy or getting rid of him. Is it better just to keep him in our organization? I'm going to buy him out for 2/3 for another $2 million. I'd rather have this guy on my team. I mean, that's kind of the way you'd have to look at it.
Well, and from the Canadiens' perspective, getting to Foley, this has been a pretty good offseason for Mark Bergevin.
I said they're going to be aggressive. Remember before, the week before?
And if Josh Anderson becomes, I don't want to say meets in the middle between his career high of 27 goals and his career low of one last year, but if he can be in that 18 to 22 goal range, mm-hmm. tough player, skates well, like, I don't know, the Canadians.
I just, there's two examples though that you need to look at. Aside from everyone wants their team to be better today, even Leaf fans, it's like, we want our team better today. I think when you have to look at your general manager, management group is, and Berkey talks about this a little bit, right, on how many years in your deal you have left. I think in Montreal, they need to win now. And I think Jim Benning has got a little bit of space to breathe, and he doesn't need to win in the next 2 years. What he did this year was incredible. Look, you're taking that team to what they, you know, what they did in the bubble. Young team still, right, up and coming. You got a lot of exciting players. But then Montreal, I think Bergevin and with the Canadians, they have to do something. They need to make a splash this year or the next. And you saw how aggressive he was. all the moves leading up to free agency, during free agency, the Anderson move, they're going to be good. Montreal, it's not going to be, they've definitely improved.
Well, we talked about this yesterday on the Holiday Monday Thanksgiving show. Who do you like as surefire Eastern Conference playoff teams next year? You've got Washington, you got Philadelphia, you put Pittsburgh in there.
Yeah.
You got Tampa Bay.
You can't bet against Sydney and
right, and Malkin.
Evgeny.
You got Tampa Bay, you got Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, so that's 5 out of 8. You're talking about the Habs being better. The Maple Leafs fit into that equation somehow, some way. The Carolina Hurricanes are that mosquito you swat at and you can't, mm-hmm. you can't kill them. The New York Rangers, are they going to continue to progress in their rebuild? The New York Islanders are another mosquito that you can't swat away. Like, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle for the Leafs.
I told you, it's hard to make the playoffs. It's very difficult. Even before the pandemic, the Leafs were, you know, in a fight to get there. I know they had the upper hand on Florida, but yeah, it's I just couldn't make it through one more
Florida. What if Sergei?
I try not to say that word in the morning. I almost made it through.
What if Sergei Bobrovsky has a great year for the Panthers? I mean, that could complicate things even further.
Yeah.
Ian Tulloch is going to be along. He covers the Maple Leafs for The Athletic at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, and we'll break everything down with him. Zach Bogosian is in. TJ Brody is in. Wayne Simmons is in. Jimmy Vesey is in. Andreas Janssen is out. Kasperi Kapanen, a while ago, out. The Leafs are making moves, overturning, I want to say, the fringes of their roster, but changing the supplement to the core. And I think that now this lands in the core's lap. As Ziggy said yesterday, and we'll repeat, I'm sure, at some point today, the players brought in should help the core, quote, play bigger. And now the responsibility is on the main guys, the high-paid guys, to get it done. Ian Tulloch at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Andrew Raycroft, friend of the show, at 7:30. Andrew Peters of WGR 550 in Buffalo on the Taylor Hall signing and the state of the Sabres. And Peter Labardius at 8:30. He's the Calgary Flames color analyst on Sportsnet 960 Calgary Flames broadcasts. We'll do a deeper dive into TJ Brody and what he brings to the Maple Leafs. And the state of the Flames as they sign Jacob Markstrom and overhaul their goaltending situation. It's all ahead. Hughes sat down. We'll burrow the lead next. If you're rejoining us after the long weekend, welcome back. And we did not have a winner yesterday in our all or nothing game. So $200 in Untucket gift cards are available to our contestant when we play all or nothing in about 15 minutes time. Be listening for your cue to call. Ian Tulloch covering the Leafs for the Athletic at the top of the hour. We'll get into Kyle Dubas's offseason work. Andrew Raycroft, Andrew Peters, Peter Lubardius. It's a mouthful. A couple of Andrews and then back to back. Peter, Andrew Raycroft, Andrew Peters, Peter Lubardius.
Say that 10 times fast, or even once.
I just did.
All right.
Here's Hugh Burrell with Burrell the Lead.
It is a busy edition of Burrell the Lead today, but it's always kind of busy. Let's start with football. Yes. Can't wait for another edition of Tuesday Night Football. Yeah. Exactly. It's only
you guys don't like Tuesday football?
Oh, come on. What's not to like about
every
it?
Day of the week football is good with me.
Ziggy, it's only the second time in 70 years the NFL's played a game on Tuesday. Eagles and Vikings. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I heard people aren't happy about a game on Tuesday. So there it is. Go ahead.
Then I guess they won't watch it. Yes, they will. They will definitely watch watch the Bills and Titans tonight. Eagles and Vikings played on a Tuesday back in 2010 because of a huge blizzard. Tonight's game is a result of positive COVID-19 tests on the Titans, which have thrown the league's schedule into the blender. Last night, Chargers visited the Saints. LA's Justin Herbert becoming the first rookie quarterback to throw four touchdown passes on Monday Night Football. Tied at 27 all, just 5 seconds to go. The Chargers had a chance to win it when kicker Michael Badgley, whose nickname is the Money Badger, lined up for a 50-yarder.
Snap and hold look good. Kick is away. It's up, and it is off the upright. It's off the upright. It bounces back into the field of play. No time on the clock, and this one's going to overtime. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is kind of unbelievable. So, of course, New Orleans kicks a field goal in extra time. The Chargers get the ball back, but...
Fourth and seven for the Chargers from their own 44. Herbert in the gun. Takes a gun snap. Saints bring pressure. Quick throw near side. Caught. And take it down short of midfield.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore with a huge defensive effort there, saving the game. Saints win at 30-27. They're now 3-2. Chargers fall to 1-4. You guys saw the Dak Prescott injury on Sunday, right? Yeah. Well, if seeing a man's foot turned the wrong way appeals to you, you'll have to find the replay somewhere other than the NFL's YouTube channel. The league has removed that injury from its can't-miss highlight pack. Prescott out for the rest of the season after suffering the compound fracture and dislocation in the third quarter. Andy Dalton came in, led the boys to a win over the Giants. Yesterday, Dallas coach Mike McCarthy said his team is fortunate to have a backup with the credentials of Dalton.
We're fortunate to have Andy here. His experience speaks for itself. I mean, you know, his ability to go into the game yesterday and perform at the level that he did. I mean, we had the first play there where we had to, we had the sack, but after that, he played flawless football and put us in position to kick the field goal to win the game.
Dalton, a.k.a. the Red Rifle, a three-time Pro Bowler in his 9 years with the Bengals. Can he lead this Cowboys team into the playoffs in a pretty weak division?
Well, the answer to that question is yes, because the division is so bad. But Andy Dalton cannot get Dallas a pass rush. He cannot improve their linebacking core with the injuries that they have, and he can't play in their defensive secondary. He can't improve their run defense. So if Dallas continues to give up 40-plus points a game or in that neighborhood, it's going to be a tough haul for them. But the division is so bad, they could conceivably go 7-9 or 8-8 and win it.
Oh, that's almost unthinkable.
Well, the Eagles got the win in San Francisco and then went to Pittsburgh and lost. The Giants are atrocious, and that's being kind.
Yeah.
And Washington.
Nah, they're nowhere.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins' days are already apparently numbered in Washington. There's a kid who came in with such a high ceiling and Riverboat Ron. It's like, nope, almost closing the book on him already.
He's cleaning house.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see Dalton hand the ball off to Zeke Elliott a lot more. That'll take care of some of the problems on defense just by simply not having them have to play most of the game.
Right.
So control the ball, control the clock, and that might be a recipe
to get in there. Yeah. Dalton can throw, but you have to force the defense to honor the pass. If they think you're a run team on first and second down, they're going to they're going to stack the box.
But how nice is it, though, for the Cowboys? He's not your regular backup quarterback. Like, this guy, he was a starter. Pretty good quarterback on a pretty terrible team. So, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, I'm not sure why you would be, there's some room for optimism. Tom Brady won the internet yesterday. He posted that meme of his body with LeBron James's head holding up the four fingers to represent LeBron's four championships. Brady held up four fingers late in last Thursday's game when he thought he had one more down. He didn't. So I guess Tom's a good sport for making fun of himself at the same time congratulating LeBron, right? It's nice to see athletes do this.
Is he allowing himself to have a bit more of a personality post-New England?
Yeah, I think so. He's a little more outspoken. You're seeing him just say,
because it's really weird. Cam Newton, and this is saying something for Cam, he's never dressed louder than he's dressing now playing for Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So is it Tom coming out of his shell? Because if Belichick's okay with Cam dressing, I would imagine he'd be okay with Brady on social media and all that stuff.
Yeah, strangely, I think Belichick could probably, I think Brady fell in line with Belichick more than a guy like Cam would, because Cam is a free spirit. He's going to say what he wants. He's going to do what he wants. Whereas Brady came up into that system under Belichick, right? So, baseball playoffs. Oh my goodness! Nice day for the Rays. Manuel Margot. After the Astros, Jose Altuve made a bad throw to first with two out in the first, allowing G-Man Choi to reach base. Margot made him pay.
McCullers holds to the belt in the pitch. Swing, and he drives one into center field. Back at it to Springer, still going back to the wall. It's gone! The Rays take advantage of the Astros' miscue. And Manuel Margot, in a place he called home, just hit the Rays a 3-0 lead with a 3-run home run here in the first.
Oh, by the way, Margot is also doing it with the glove.
Now the 1-1 pitch. Here's a swing, and he popped him up down the right field line with a stay in play. Drifting over, Margot into foul territory near the sidewall, makes the catch, flips over the wall. Did he hold on? Yes, he did! What a catch in right field by Manuel Margot. Oh, my!
Oh, my is right. Rays went 4-2 to take a 2-0 series lead. Now, Margot went right over the wall and landed in foul territory, making that catch. It was a heck of a catch. I was asking earlier what the rule was if that was a home run ball and he'd landed on the other side of the fence but did catch the ball. It's a home run. I'm not crazy about that rule.
Well, if you're in the field of play when you make the catch and your momentum carries you over.
Yeah.
The wall, whether it's into foul territory or over the outfield wall, it's an out.
Yeah.
But you have to hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
If you, like, leap the fence at Fenway Park, say, where the right field fence is really short, and you're standing in the Red Sox bullpen and you make the catch, it's a home run. It's where your feet are.
It's a weird rule, isn't it, Ziggy? Because if as our associate producer Holden Masterson pointed out, that in basketball, if the ball's going out of bounds and you catch it in the air while inbounds, but your feet land out of bounds, it's a dead ball, it's a turnover. The other team gets the ball, but not in baseball. It's weird, Ziggy.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you start, your feet are planted in the field or court of play, you're fine. Is that not correct?
No, not in basketball. If you catch it in the air inbounds and land out of bounds, you're out of bounds. But in baseball,
as long as you get rid of it before you plant your feet.
Yeah, in basketball, if you get rid of it, yeah. But if you catch it and land out of bounds, it's dead ball. But in baseball, if you catch it over the fence and land, you know.
I do just want to say that we all noticed you called Hayden Holden
Masterson. Yeah.
But that you do
what
that
on his name.
That you do that on purpose. Just in case we get texts, who's this Holden?
Is his name not Holden?
No.
Oh.
You've been here longer than the rest of us. Hugh,
sorry,
you should know this.
Hayden, if that is your real name. No, I'm kidding. Thanks, Holden. In the NLCS, part-time Canadian and full-time good guy Freddie Freeman gave the Braves an early lead on the Dodgers.
Very asymmetrical wall. 1-2 swung on and ripped out to deep right field. This one's into the seats, and Freddie Freeman gets them rolling with a home run here in the first inning. A torpedo into the seats in right field, and it's 1-0 Braves as Atlanta draws blood.
Braves scored 4 more in the ninth, 5-1 the final. They go up a game on the Dodgers, and there were fans at this game last night, about 25% capacity, so almost 11 or 12,000 fans at, where were they playing yesterday?
Globe Life Field in Arlington.
In Arlington, yeah, so there were fans there.
By the way, shares a massive parking lot with Jerry World.
Yeah.
So, and the Dallas Cowboys have been playing to, what, a quarter capacity?
Yeah.
Some of their home games, so the laws down there are a little more lax, so they let some people in.
To say the least, they're a little more lax.
How about them Cowboys?
Is Freddie Freeman going to win MVP?
Yes, in the National League.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a season.
And he had...
Good Canadian guy.
And he had COVID really badly. Yeah. Really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really bad.
104-degree fever.
Yeah.
Like it was gross.
Yeah, he was talking about not coming back, right? Like,
yep.
No, he wasn't sure he was going to live.
Yeah.
At its worst.
We'll finish up with this. Tom Seaver, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, and Whitey Ford, and now Joe Morgan. Baseball lost another legend yesterday. Morgan passed away at the age of 77. Little Joe, as he was known, because of his 5'7" height, one of the game's very, very best second basemen. In fact, in 2016, ESPN ranked Morgan as the third best all-time at the position, behind only Jackie Robinson and Rogers Hornsby. 10-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champ of the Reds, part of those big red machines back in the 70s, back-to-back MVPs. He's a Hall of Famer. And then, oh yeah, after retirement, he became a legendary broadcaster. Buster Olney of ESPN remembers Morgan.
You're talking about a player in his 8 seasons in Cincinnati, 816 runs scored, 406 stolen bases, 2 MVP awards, 5 gold gloves, 415 on base percentage. He was one of the best players of all time. Every time that I would see Joe Morgan on the field when he was doing Sunday Night Baseball, it always struck me how players like Derek Jeter and Cal Ripken Jr. and Alex Rodriguez would find their way to go and talk with Joe Morgan because he was baseball royalty.
Now, if you're too young to remember those big red machines of the 70s, do yourself a favor and go watch some video of them. This team, you talk about dynasties. Oh, my goodness, what a baseball dynasty. I mean, Joe Morgan, he was only one of the pieces to that team. Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Dave Concepcion, Ken Griffey. I mean,
Tony Perez.
The list just goes on and on and on. They were so good. That team.
Sparky Anderson was their manager.
Sparky Anderson, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only in his clip would go on to say that Morgan is the best second baseman ever of all time.
Well, Rogers,
with all apologies to Jackie Robinson and Rogers Hornsby, who played back in the 20s and 30s.
Well, Rogers Hornsby played way, way back. And Jackie Robinson, it was more for his broader effect on the game and society.
Still great stats, though, yeah. Robinson. Yeah.
But Joe Morgan... And this is funny for a broadcaster who actually had no time for the new school analytics. Joe Morgan was worth more than 100 wins above replacement for his career. And he played 22 years in the big leagues, retired with a .392 on base percentage. He was on base more than 39% of his plate appearances. And he walked 650 more times in his career than he struck out.
Yeah. And he stole a whole bunch of bases too. One of those throwback guys who just loved the game and only 5'7". Now, he was doing all this small guy because the sport can beat you down after a number of years, right? But small guy, he battled through it and just an absolute legend.
The sport can beat you down, and he played in that era with the crappy AstroTurf at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati and a lot of the road parks. So the fact his body didn't break down. Another tribute to him. Peter Loubardius, Andrew Peters, Andrew Raycroft, and Ian Tulloch at the top of the hour. We'll go over the Leafs' work over the last 4 or 5 days in free agency. We'll ask Ian to grade Kyle Dubas' offseason to this point. And right now, the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590. We did not have a winner yesterday. So we've got $200 in Nantucket gift cards to give away. We want you to be the contestant when we play All or Nothing next. You know the game by now, All or Nothing. 3 true or false questions, and you need to get them all right or all wrong. So you are not eliminated if you get the first one incorrect. It just means that numbers 2 and 3 have to be intentionally incorrect. We did not have a winner of Nantucket gift cards yesterday, so the amount of $100 carries over, and we've got $200 to give away today. We hope that Ray in Toronto will be taking the gift cards home. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
We're doing very well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. You're turkeyed out. You're back to work. And with all that...
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what? Last time I was a contestant for $400 and I lost on the last question.
Ooh.
So today I'm determined to win. I'm determined.
All right. Well, after jamming all that turkey down your gullet, you need some shirts that don't require tucking. Ziggy,
right.
Question one.
All right, first one here. My old pal, Andrew Raycroft, is joining us today on the show. A former Leaf who also played with the Bruins and won a Calder there. Those are the only two teams he has ever played for. True or false?
False.
That is correct. Also played for Colorado and Vancouver.
That's one season
each. Then went to Dallas.
Yeah, so he played for 5 teams.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, you're in good shape here. You got the first one correct, which means you get the next two right, and the gift cards are yours.
Silent Vic. Silent Vic with the finger on the button.
That's
there.
A balk. That's yeah. a balk.
Hey, man, I'm a hockey guy. So if you guys give me two more hockey questions, I'm going to be visiting on Tuckett. Oh, so let's go.
That's okay. Good to know, Ray, because here comes a baseball question for you.
Okay, let's go.
All right. The Tampa Bay Rays are just two games away from going to the World Series, two wins away. They've made it to the World Series, a.k.a. the Fall Classic, one other time in their history. Is that true or is that false?
That's false.
Nah, man, it's true.
Oh, man, I lost again.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Walk it off, Ray.
The Tampa Bay Rays lost to the Phillies.
Yeah.
In the 2008 World Series. And you know what's too bad about it? He says he's a hockey guy. The final question would have been hockey.
Yeah.
And my question would have been the top four Maple Leafs salaries are Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander. Coming in at number five is Morgan Riley. True or false?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that question would have been false. Jake Muzzin actually makes more right now than Morgan Riley. Muzzin makes $5.625 million. So that really would have tested Ray. Maybe Ray will call back in at some point soon and finally win those gift cards. We'll have $300 in Untuckit gift cards to give away when we play All or Nothing at this time tomorrow morning. Ian Tulloch coming up on the other side. He covers the Maple Leafs for The Athletic. Kyle Dubas making changes around the edges. The core remains intact. Things on the supplement look a lot different. We will grade Kyle Dubas's offseason with Ian Tulloch coming up. Well, we know Anthony Stewart is up this morning, Ziggy. He sent us a
Did
gift.
I see he sent us him a gift. Chirp me without saying a word.
Oh, he sent us a gift of Sammy Sosa. Modern day Sammy Sosa.
I got a message from somebody else who just said, "Hey, Stewart's chirping you on Twitter." That's all I got.
Stewie's making that a habit. I got to say, I don't have a problem with it. I'm okay with it. I like it. I'm just...
I just looked at it right now.
Yeah, that's
Is
Sammy
that
Sosa.
Sammy Sosa?
That's, I told you, that's Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa does not look...
Oh, my goodness. Go to Stewie... Go to at Stu Monroe's Twitter.
Yeah, at Stu Monroe. I quote tweeted it with the eyeballs emoji. Like, whoa. Yeah, no, he's not who he used to be. If you walked by, Sammy Sosa on the street today, you wouldn't know it was him.
Oh yeah, this doesn't look anything like him.
That's the guy who skipped out on the contract of your friend's place in Aspen.
I'm okay with it now.
6 degrees of Ziggy. You're 2 degrees separated from that guy, Sammy Sosa, with the green eyes.
What's he doing in Aspen? That's what I want to know. I'm like, forget about the money. I want to know what he's going to do in Aspen. It's a very outdoorsy place, right? Like, it's nature and I want to know what he was doing in Aspen.
Maybe there's a big field where he can just grow steroids. And just plant
I don't think,
steroids.
I don't think that's how, I don't think that's how, I don't think that's how steroids works. I don't think you grow steroids.
You don't just plant steroids in the ground
no,
and watch them.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's a nice little stenozolol plant you have there.
You know who actually lives down the road?
Where are we now? In Toronto, Aspen? Where are
no,
we?
No, no, no.
Where are we on your journey of life?
In Aspen, okay. From my friend's place. You know who they see around a lot? I've actually seen him cycling there. Can you guess now?
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
You said cycling, and I'm like, well, there's only one.
Yeah, I've seen him around town. I go a couple, I like that's my spot. I would go a train, right?
So is he just around. Is he just totally incognito?
I'd see him around on a bike, yeah.
Is he just incognito?
No one cares. No, no one cares.
Well, no, but, yeah, like, well, no, but that's what you got to find a place when you're Lance Armstrong or someone who's fallen from grace. You got to find a place where you can just chill and
there's a lot. A lot of former athletes and celebrities live there. Like I'll see them in a restaurant or walking in downtown. Like when I say downtown, it's like four streets. Like there's not a lot of place to go, but no one cares. Like some of the gondola rides you share are just, you know, celebs. It's not a big deal. You know, usually when they share with me, no one really bothers me. That's kind of why I hang out there.
Do you notice that your chest puffs out when you talk like this? I mean, Oh yeah, I was in rural Costa Rica last winter, and there's Drew Barrymore 9 deep at the bar. Like, I mean,
that was crazy. That's the craziest thing that's happened to me in the middle of a jungle in Costa Rica on the Pacific side, and Drew Barrymore was like 9 deep. Her kids were with the nanny, and she was running around like a bar that doesn't even have a floor. It's just rocks, like barefoot.
You know, if you'd played your cards right, she might have hyphenated the last name by the next morning.
Yeah, that's a
hard no.
That's a hard no.
That's a hard no. 6 degrees of Ziggy can never become one degree. Can never become 1 degree of Ziggy. Andrew Raycroft will join us at 7:30. Ian Tulloch of The Athletic covering the Maple Leafs in just a couple of minutes. And we got into this topic pretty heavily yesterday, Ziggy, but the beauty of the short week, the holiday Monday, is it permits us to recycle topics because a lot of our listeners were chilling out, sleeping in, sleeping off the turkey or getting ready to have turkey yesterday afternoon. And I think now with this Leafs team, it falls directly in the Coors lap. What we have seen from Kyle Dubas is a willingness to adjust philosophy, arguably, as he supplements his core. But he is holding firm and sticking true to the big four, plus Morgan Riley, plus Frederik Andersen at this point. There are...
Do you throw those two in when you talk about the core? Well, like when you talk about the big four, this is something I want to ask actually, Ian. Like when you... If you're going to put it on anyone's shoulders, is it just the big four up front, or do you include a Riley Andersen in that when you're discussing the...
Well, we call them the big four because of the money, right?
I know that, but I'm wondering if you include Riley and Andersen when you're talking about, hey, do we give this group another chance?
Well, I'll say this. If you're not counting your goaltender as part of your core, chances are your team sucks. Because if you don't have a guy who can stop the puck, that's a problem. Where is Morgan Riley a true bona fide number one defenseman in the NHL? I'm not arguing that he's a top pairing guy. I think that he is. But he is not in that Victor Hedman, and this is not an insult to Morgan Riley, by the way, but he's not in that Victor Hedman, Alex Pietrangelo universe.
I don't think he's going to get offended if he heard that, but carry on.
No, I wasn't. What I was saying is that he is a top pairing guy, but he is not that jackhammer who plays 25 to 30 minutes a night and controls the play when he's out there.
He doesn't have the same defensive presence as a Hedman or Pietrangelo. But offensively, what he did 2 years ago, if he could somehow, you know, he had a little bit of a drop off towards the end. If he could some way maintain that and lead all defensemen in scoring, he's in the Norris conversation. He's that good because he skates well. He defends well, doesn't take penalties. He had an off year last year. Some injury, you know, something was bothering him. I mean, I know what we found out. I think it was something more. I really do. What happened last year?
Yeah, well, and he used the COVID period to recoup. Hopefully, you know, you get a few more months off here now. The Leafs didn't go that deep, obviously, into the bubble situation and he comes back fresh and ready to go. I'm going to cede the first question to you, Ziggy, because I like this discussion about who is a part of the Maple Leafs core. Ian Tulloch is with us covering the Maple Leafs for The Athletic. Ziggy?
Yeah.
Take it away.
You want me to start off the first one?
I like it. I like it.
So we're talking about this team and if we give them another shot, but I always ask Scotty, like, who exactly is the core of this team? You say the big four is Riley and Anderson included when you say give this group one more chance?
So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys. But the question I guess you're asking is who is part of this championship run? Who's part of, when we think of the Maple Leafs and their title contention window, who needs to be a part of that team? I think you look at track runs until 2024, he's automatically a part of that. John Tavares on the books for the next 5 years, definitely him. Marner, I think you have to include in that. And then after that, I think is where we start having the discussion. William Nylander and Dubas's opinion, I don't think he's getting traded anytime soon, so you have to include him in that. Anderson, I think there's a very good case that he could be moved this summer. I'm not sure what's going to happen now that most teams have made their major signings, their major trades after the draft, after the first couple days of free agency. But we know for a fact that Anderson's name was shopped out there earlier, so maybe he's someone that we don't consider part of the core. And with Morgan Riley, one more year left on his contract, I'm curious to see what happens after this upcoming season, because I'm sure we're going to talk about TJ Brody. This is the best partner he's going to have played with in his career. I think it's an opportunity for him to really show what he can do at 5-on-5. I think it's going to be an opportunity for him to have a really strong career. So I think the Leafs consider him part of their core, and he could earn a long-term contract, but I'm not sure if I'd be willing to pay it. So that's a tough one, Morgan Riley, for me. I'm sure most fans consider him part of the core. I'm a bit dicey on that one because I think with Jake Muzzin and TJ Brody now signed a long-term contract, I'm not sure if you want Morgan Riley on an $8 or $9 million contract. We just saw what Pietrangelo signed for. Is that something you want for the next 7 or 8 years on your books? I think it's a good question you have to ask yourself.
Well, no, I don't think that Morgan Riley is worth that number. Right before you joined us, Ian, and this is not an insult to him, but he's not in the Hedman, Pietrangelo conversation. He just isn't. I think he's a top pairing defenseman in the National Hockey League, but I don't think he's that 25 to 30 minute a night control the pace of play guy, Norris Trophy candidate perennially. And he's still a young man and will be, what, 28 years old when he comes up for a contract. But as I think all these teams are figuring out, and maybe even quicker than they thought they would have had to initially, given COVID-19 and the flat cap, which is effectively a false cap with the escrow and all that, and teams with internalized budgets now because gate revenue just isn't coming in, you've got to make some really hard decisions. And I think you've got to make really hard decisions about guys who are bumping their heads up against the age of 30. Or who may be close to surpassing it. That was my one concern when the Leafs and Pietrangelo were being lumped in the same sentence. You know, at 35, 36, 37, are you going to like that 7-year contract with a guy like Pietrangelo? So I think that's the hard decision you got to make on guys like Morgan Riley when they do come up.
And Jake Muzzin was someone I was thinking, are they going to re-sign this guy? Because when James Van Riemsdyk hit the open market, they decided to pull the plug. When Tyler Bozak hit the open market, they pulled the plug. Jake Gardner, aging into his late 20s, had the back injury. They pulled the plug. But they ended up re-signing Jake Muzzin into his 30s on a 4-year deal. Just signed TJ Brody to big money in a 4-year deal. They seem to be saying the window is now. We are trading future wins for current wins. We know that these deals on the back end in years 3 and year 4 might not look as good, but we want to guarantee ourselves a chance to contend now. Is that something they look at doing with their next couple contract negotiations, whether it's a Zach Hyman, whether it's a Morgan Riley? It's a question you have to ask yourself because they seem to be realizing that, okay, we have Austin Matthews guaranteed for the next 4 seasons. We need to do everything we can to win a Stanley Cup before he bolts for Arizona. I think that's everyone's biggest fear. So do you maybe take a few more risks with some longer-term contracts that could hurt you in the long run if it improves your chances of winning in the short term? I know we generally don't like thinking like that, But I know in the NBA we see a lot more roster turnover these days. We see stars going to their where they grew up. We see Kawhi Leonard going to LA. In the NHL, we're seeing Alex Pietrangelo switch teams. We're seeing John Tavares switch teams. Is there more of a fear now of star players leaving their current team that maybe that motivates you to really improve your chances of winning in the short term, even if it means a 6 or 7 year deal that might hurt you in the long run? I don't know. I think I'm listening to that argument a lot more than I used to in the past.
Ian Tulloch with us covering the Leafs for The Athletic. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The top two lines are pretty much set, right? Mikheyev's the only guy that hasn't signed. You've got Tavares, Nylander, Marner, Matthews, Hyman. But the bottom six are, I mean, I don't think they're going to be set at all. I don't think they're going to be set the first 10 games of the season. But when you're looking at a third line, Kerfoot is slotted to play center. Is that where you see him, or do you think he's a better winger?
They tested him out in the top six alongside Tavares and Nylander. Personally, I didn't love it. I thought Kerfoot made a much bigger impact at center. I thought that gave him a better opportunity to handle the puck, transition it from the defensive zone through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, and then make a pass to somebody into open space. That's what he does best. Even if he's on a two-on-one, he'll never shoot it. He'll always look for the pass. That's the joke with Kerfoot. But I always liked his transition ability with Kasperi Kapanen on that third line. I thought they did a great job of using their speed to get the puck up the ice, off the rush. That's where the Leafs do their most damage. I think Nick Robertson is going to get a good look with him to see if that's maybe some chemistry they can build in camp. I don't know when camp starts. No one's really sure when next season is starting yet. I guess we'll get to that in a few months. But when camp does roll around, I think we're going to see Robertson and Kerfoot. If it doesn't work out, maybe Barabanov. We didn't know what Mikheyev was coming into last season. No one was really sure what he was. All of a sudden, we thought, oh, my God, this is a top nine NHL forward that you can play against good competition and give him penalty kill minutes. We're not really sure what Barabanov is right now. He's a mystery box, so maybe that's someone that could slot in there. I don't see Joey Anderson filling that role. I don't see Jimmy Vesey filling a top nine role. As much as I love the idea of Wayne Simmonds punching people in the face, I'm not sure if he's a third line guy you want on a team that can legitimately contend. So I'm looking at this bottom six, and it's much thinner when you remove Andreas Johnsson and Kasperi Kapanen. That's what happens when you allocate resources from forward to defense like the Leafs wanted to by adding TJ Brody. But it has made them weaker in the bottom six, and I think it's important to point out that, yeah, after Kerfoot, you're not really sure what else is happening on that third line. The fourth line, you trust with Jason Spezza there. You figure he's going to make some good passes to people in open space and sheltered minutes. I trust Jason Spezza and two replacement-level players, honestly. But it's that third line that I'm a bit worried about right now. I'm looking at the talent there. Kerfoot, I like. Robertson, we'll see. He just turned 19 years old recently, so I'm not sure if you can pencil him in there. Maybe he's not ready. And if that's the case, what are we looking at in Toronto's bottom six? I think they're missing a player or two there. Just like you, Ziggy, I think this is something they're going to sort out throughout the course of the season.
How do you see the back end shaking out vis-a-vis Rasmus Sandin? Have they bought him more development time? Because if you're looking at a top six of some kind of Riley, Brody, Muzzin, Hall, Lehtinen, Dermott, is Sandin a guy who's going to break camp on this team? Is he going to get more development? Where does this all play out?
And you didn't even bring up Zach Bogosian.
The $1 million man. Yeah, exactly.
There's another body. And you know, he's going to be there because, you know, the physical presence. That's the whole reason they signed him, right? So he's got to be somewhere on the roster, even if it's just as a 7D. So all of a sudden, we're running out of spots. To me, I think it really comes down to Mikko Lehtinen versus Rasmus Sandin. I'm not sure if it's something they're going to predetermine by maybe saying, hey, Sandin, do you want to go play in Sweden for a little bit right now? Well, the NHL is on their off season, and then maybe when we get back into camp, we'll do a Lehtinen versus Sandin for the third D on the left spot, because Travis Dermott is apparently a right side defenseman now. That's something that Dubas said a week ago, and we're just going to roll with it. Okay, so Travis Dermott, pencil him in for the third D right side spot. Lefty still undecided. I would love to see Rasmus Sandin get that opportunity, but at the same time, Mikko Lehtinen, I'm hearing a lot of smart people overseas say this is a talented guy that if he gets a good opportunity, he has some offensive tools to put up points. So you don't know until you're in camp and you get to see these guys play. Sometimes it's an Ozhiganov situation where, you see him for a couple games. You think, ooh, is this something? Turns out it isn't something. Nikita Zaitsev, the first year we were all very impressed with him and then got a 7-year extension and we weren't quite as impressed after that. So I don't know what to tell you in some of these European imports coming over. It's a bit unpredictable. But I know historically, if you look at the rate of success from guys like Ilya Mikheyev, Mikko Lehtinen, European free agents who are starting the NHL as a rookie, it's higher than the average AHL player coming in. So I think it's one of those market inefficiencies that Kyle Dubas has identified. And frankly, I love it. I love the idea of a Mikko Lehtinen coming in and providing third pair value on a rookie contract for, $925,000? When the Leafs are paying a bunch of money at the top end of the roster, those are the kind of money-saving moves they'll need to make if they want to contend.
Yeah, I like the Lehtinen pickup, but he's not going to come over here and be a seventh defenseman. He's not going to be in and out of the lineup. If he's not playing, he's going to be out of here. I'll tell you that much right now. Bogosian, not going to be a seventh defenseman. He's playing. Brody's playing. Muzzin's playing. Riley's playing.
Hall.
Those. Oh, I didn't say Hall.
Well, that's my point.
I'm going to Hall and Dermott now, and it's going to be between one of them. And I'm just wondering if the Leafs are going to squeeze Dermott and saying, hey, if you don't want to sign this, Hall's in, and we can make you, we can wait you out. And let's see if you want to sign then. I don't know if you think the Leafs are kind of going down that road. I don't think Sandin's going to be in just yet. I love this competition, though, that the Leafs have going.
Yeah, I'm a Travis Dermott truther, but like you said, he doesn't have much leverage right now. Just like you said, there are a lot of players vying for his spot, and if he doesn't have a contract and can't compete for a spot in camp, that's going to suck. So I hope they're able to work something out. I'd imagine it's a one-year deal, something in the below $2 million, above $1 million, maybe. I don't know. These one-year cases are always as tough to find comps for. So I know with Ilya Mikheyev, we're trying to figure out the arbitration case. Ooh, what's a good predictor for? Is he going to get $1.25 million? Is he going to get $1.75 million? It's always a weird number that's below two and above one. So I hope we're able to see him actually get that opportunity in camp, because his gap control in the neutral zone is something I'm a big fan of. I think the ability to take away space and prevent the other team from gaining the zone with possession is something that's a big deal in the modern game. And I think if Travis Dermott can sort out some other parts of his game, I think it's going to make him an effective modern defenseman. But again, like you said, the Leafs are adding bodies to the blue line. And if Dermott isn't in camp and he's not up to speed with the Mikko Lehtinen of the world, he might be on the outside looking in, and he might be traded to another organization. There could be a move coming here with the Leafs changing the blue line, adding Brody. Maybe a Hall gets moved. Maybe a Dermott gets moved. I'm not sure what happens over the next couple months, but nothing would shock me at this point.
With Ian Tulloch, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thinking ahead on Freddie Anderson, and let's just presume for the sake of discussion that he is the opening night starting goaltender. If he is not to return when his contract expires, how do they upgrade that position? The list of goaltending UFAs next summer doesn't blow me away. And we obviously understand you can make trades, but I don't see the internal option to upgrade over Anderson.
Yeah, the free agent market for goaltenders, it's funny. I saw a great GIF the other day where it showed goaltenders' names and team logos, and they all switched one to the right because Calgary's goalie went to one team and then one. The goalies just shift all of a sudden in the NHL. It's like the coaching carousel. All of a sudden, you see one goalie. Hey, didn't I just see him in Edmonton last year? Now he's on Calgary. Oh, no, he's on Minnesota this year. Okay, great. So with goaltending, you never really know what you're going to get. With Frederick Anderson, he'd been one of the most consistent goalies in the NHL. You knew what you were going to get, .918 save percentage. All of a sudden last year, you didn't know what you were going to get in any given night. So I don't know what to tell you when it comes to goaltending. It's one of those things where, as a stats nerd, I'm always trying to predict outcomes. I'm always trying to think, okay, how do I predict which player is going to score? Why don't we predict which players are going to provide value? With goaltenders, it's so hard to predict what's going to happen from game to game, from week to week, month to month. from season to season, there's so much volatility with this position, which is why the big analytical argument in the goaltending community is, you know, you shouldn't dole out big cash and big term on goaltenders because you just never know. Sometimes a rookie comes in and steals the job and outperforms the guy making $6 million. So with Frederik Andersen, I hope he has one strong final year here in Toronto and, you know, leads the team to the promised land. But realistically, I think in the long term, they're going to find a cheaper way to replace it, whether it's via trade, whether it's some guy that we don't know about right now, but he has a strong year and he's available in a trade or a free agency. Again, the most unpredictable position in sports, and we're trying to predict it a year out. One of those tough things to do, but I'd imagine the first start of not this upcoming season, but the next season, Frederik Andersen will not be the goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It'll be someone who they haven't acquired yet, in my opinion. I don't think someone like Joseph Woll is going to be ready. And I'm not sure if I see Jack Campbell as a true number one goalie. He seems like more of a 1B kind of guy.
Always appreciate the insight, pal. Thanks for getting up to do this. We'll talk again soon.
Anytime. Always love these morning shows. You guys keep drinking that coffee.
Oh, you bet. Ian Tulloch, covering the Maple Leafs for The Athletic. We'll get Andrew Raycroft on next. We'll ask... Once we get through the Cancun part of the conversation, we'll ask him whether Frederik Andersen will be making less AAV, equal AAV, or higher AAV on his next contract. It's like a modified yay or nay.
I love it, but I could throw a little Cancun factoid every week if you really wanted.
Well,
but
maybe.
I don't think, sometimes I get the text message after the show like, hey, cool it.
Be careful. The smart speaker is playing Sportsnet 590 in the other room, and there are other ears listening.
Oh, yeah.
There is a statute. There is a statute of limitations, though, at some point, right? We think? No? Okay.
Oh, man.
Andrew Raycroft coming up. Andrew Peters next hour. Peter Loubardius on Sportsnet 960 Calgary's Flames broadcast. We'll get into TJ Brody. Also into their signing out in Calgary of Jacob Markstrom to the biggest contract handed out to a goaltender so far this offseason. Andrew Raycroft is with us now, Nesson hockey analyst. Is he a friend of leadoff Ziggy or an alleged friend of leadoff?
Want to go... Let's go alleged for now.
Okay.
To be determined.
It's a wait and see situation. I will say though, Razor, Ziggy is really excited to have you on this morning. So we teed you up 5 minutes ago before the update, and this was the response he gave me. Can you hit that one more time? What the hell is that?
Bam, bam, bam.
You're going to be playing on this show for years. Years to come.
Oh, man.
I mean, some people can roll their R's and others can do this.
Bam, bam, bam.
I don't even think I can. All right.
That's what I think of whenever you say the Razor's name.
Anyway.
That is as excited as you can get about anything. So anything really exciting happens on the show, that has to come up.
So that was a terrific segment, Razor. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
I can't top that.
No, you can't, and we won't ask you to. Alex Pietrangelo signs... I'm getting very serious now. Alex Pietrangelo signs last night, 7 years and better than 61 and a half. So an $8.8 million AAV with Vegas. And I was asking on yesterday's Thanksgiving morning show, like, what's taking so long? It felt like the only thing he hadn't done on his 2-day trip to Vegas was take the Ovechkin bath in the Bellagio. And it was thrown out there that maybe a team like the Bruins were lingering in the woods trying to see if they could jump in on the fray. Do you have any sense that Boston was anywhere close with Pietrangelo, or was it always a fait accompli once the Blues signed Torrey Krug that Pietrangelo was headed to Vegas?
The Bruins weren't close on that, especially dollar-wise, but just fit-wise, that right try just wasn't where the Bruins were at. But again, financially, to match that 8.8 in a state with no taxes, they're looking at 9.5, which the Bruins would never have gone to. So I would assume the holdup was more along the lines of trying to get a deal for Nate Schmidt, which came down the pipe right after Vegas, just trying to make sure their money on the backside was going to be where they were going to be able to get rid of it and not get hamstrung holding a bunch of cap dollars.
What's that like, the whole process being a free agent? I mean, me and Scotty touched on a little bit here last couple of days, but what's that like for guys trying to figure out where to go? Is it the lifestyle, the city? How much does money come into the equation? Your significant other, your family? Can you break any of that down for us? Because we didn't really talk about, because I never really dealt with it in my career. I didn't have a big year where I was a free agent at any time.
Yeah, I wasn't one of the big guys. I'm assuming the big guys, it's a lot more complex. And I mostly dollar-wise, for me, when I was going into free agency, there was a lot of trickle-down effect, especially for the goaltending position. And we just saw it this past weekend, the musical chairs. And for a goaltender, all you need to be is number one on one list. You could be the 20th worst goalie on everybody else's list, but if you're number one on that one team's list, that's where you're looking for. And as a goaltender, you see those dominoes fall quickly. So I was sitting there on, you know, July 1st, and all right, these are the two teams I have an idea we talk to. They have interest, and let's hope they call me and not sign someone else, because then I don't know where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do. So that was essentially how it went for me. I went to Dallas one year and Vancouver the next year. And the Dallas one was, I had a couple opportunities, and it was a matter of, okay, this seems like the best deal, the best fit, great city, good guys, 2-year deal. Let's take this deal over the 1-year deal I have somewhere else.
Your former team, the Vancouver Canucks, signed, let go of Jacob Markstrom to free agency. Calgary picking him up $6 million over 6 years. Are you surprised at how that unfolded with the Canucks and just letting a guy like that go that you've relied on to get your organization to where they are today?
It's a tough business. It's such a tough business. And you see it every year at this time. And I think you see it with the names sitting on the sidelines right now. I can't imagine some of these guys who are real good hockey players without jobs. With Jacob Markstrom, I think it comes down to Thatcher Demko playing 3 fantastic games. I think it comes down to the market having Braden Holtby sitting there. And let's not, you know, I'm sure there was a conversation, of course not tampering. There would never have been tampering, but I'm sure there was a couple conversations that led the Canucks believe that Braden Holtby was willing to go to Vancouver. And the reality is of the flat cap, what the NHL's business is going to look like the coming years to give a goaltender 6 years and $6 million per is somewhat of a risky proposition in these times when you could have gone out and got a guy on, you know, maybe not quite the same level, but very close on shorter term and shorter money.
With that said, do you think Frederik Andersen, who's entering the final year of a 5-year, $25 million contract he signed after being acquired from Anaheim, do you think he makes less than his current AAV, the same as his current AAV, or more than his current AAV, when he hits unrestricted free agency next summer at the age of 32?
Well, I certainly know he's going to expect to be making more than his AAV. I think if there's a full season this year and we get back to business, back to normal, I would expect someone to throw similar Jacob Markstrom money at him. I can't imagine him going lower than that if he has just an average season or a similar season as he has and he gets into the playoffs. And that if it stays exactly how it is, or if he – let's put it this way, Scott. If he was going to free agency this year, I think he would have been closer to that 6 for 6 from somebody.
Okay, so if it's a normal year next year, you think he could get into that range or even a little bit higher? Because my thought on this, Razor, is, and I'm the first to argue that we should never assume stasis. We can't just sit here right now and just think of things inside a one-track mind and with tunnel vision. It is hard for me to envision the Maple Leafs improving on their goaltending by moving on from Frederik Andersen. It's hard to convince me that there are a lot of better options who are also available. Do you agree with me on that?
I do agree with you, Scotty, and I think the only way that it is. You know, they have other options is if the market turns out to be similar to this year, which I don't think it will be, where you have a Braden Holtby, you have Corey Crawford, you have these older guys willing to take a really short-term deal that are veterans that have won Stanley Cups. I don't think we're going to see that again in a year from now. I don't think we're going to see guys willing to take the shorter money deals in a year from now. So in saying that, yes, I don't think you're going to find a guy on free agency better than Freddie Andersen. Teams tie up goalies when they really want them. I think, again, this year with the bubble and everything else, it got, you know, the chairs got kicked up in the air a little bit. But I don't think that's going to be the case going forward. Teams are going to lock in their guys that they know can carry their teams.
Razor, we're going to do what is called a reset. Now, this is Andrew Raycroft, Nesson Bruins analyst, hockey analyst, and this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Does a guy like Lundqvist have anything left? Like, this, is he going to push Washington kind of to that spot they need to get to for next year? Or is that just a veteran guy in the room, been around the league a long time, you know, good guy? And, you know, might get in, you know, if they play, say, 70 games next year, maybe he gets in 6 or 7 games. But are they going to really look to use him, and he's going to be a big part of the puzzle for the Capitals?
I believe he's going to push Samsonov to where he needs to be. I think King Henrik's going to have game. He's going to play his 30 games, 40 games, and he's going to be good. He's going to contribute. It's not going to be a complete retirement parade year for him where he's collecting watches at every town he goes to, the Derek Jeter treatment. So I think he's going to give a lot to a young goaltender. I know I was an older goaltender, but just playing with Roberto Luongo for a year, I learned a lot even as a 30-year-old guy who's gone through a lot already. So I think for a young guy to play with a guy like Henrik Lundqvist, Samsonov's going to learn a lot how to handle guys, how to handle being the best, how going into different towns and how he carries himself, endorsements, how he works on a daily basis. I think all of those things are immeasurable to have around a younger guy who you expect, who you've had as a blue chip prospect in your organization, who you've been looking to pass the torch to for a few years now, learn from. So I think it's a great sign. I think he's going to play well. I mean, he wasn't terrible last season. He had a pretty good season behind a team that gave up a lot of opportunities, was not very good defensively. And the analytics say, if you want to just go straight analytics, that Henrik was more than above average last season. So he's going to contribute in a big way in lots of different ways for that Washington Capitals team.
Razor, between Wayne Simmonds, TJ Brody, Zach Bogosian, and the fact that Kyle Dubas has moved some names out, Kapanen earlier, Andreas Janssen over the weekend. Do you like the look of this Leafs team today more than you did a week ago?
I think they address the physicality issue. Whether all three of those guys, two of them aren't in their prime anymore, but I think it signals a bit of a culture change. It signals to the other guys, this is what we're expecting. We're expecting a little bit more of this. I think teams and organizations can set the tone by who they sign, whether those signings completely pan out. I mean, Wayne Simmonds is a great player, but a little bit, you know, past his due date, I would say. He can still contribute a lot, but he's not the same power forward he was in 2010 when he was with the Kings and he was running everybody over. But I think, again, that changes. Guys recognize what they were doing and recognize what they were trying to change, and I think that will bleed into the rest of the organization. So yes, I like what they did. I think they've gotten better. TJ Brody's a great signing, I think, on the back end. That gives them another guy who can move the puck really well and skates with it really well. So I think it was a good week for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
This is the unfortunate time, my friend, when we have to let you go.
I'm so glad I got to hear that this morning, even though I have to go now.
Yeah, I have no idea what that was, but it is going to live and live forever.
Yeah, you got to work that into that yay and nay. You got to. That's going to have a segment.
No, we're good. It's that's being retired after today.
Yeah, no, that's
you get to use it for the rest of the day. That's being. I get to choose. I have veto power on one thing a week. That's getting retired after today.
Silent Vic, does Ziggy have veto power? Yay or nay? No. Oh yeah, there we go. We got you the horsey sound. We got you the horsey sound.
I love it.
We'll talk next week, Razor. Appreciate it.
Sounds great, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, belatedly. Andrew Raycroft, Nesson hockey analyst, living now in the Boston area, and a weekly friend of Leadoff. We'll go to Buffalo at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Andrew Peters, former tough guy with the Sabres, now with WGR 55. He co-hosts The Instigators with Craig Rivet. We'll get into the Taylor Hall signing. Mm. We'll get into Jimmy Vesey.
Mm-hmm.
Little scouting report on him. And then later in the 8 o'clock hour, Peter Lombardi is out of Calgary on TJ Brody and what we can expect from him in a Maple Leafs uniform. Hugh is just into the studio. Whatcha watching? As I drop my G's. Coming up. Ziggy on FaceTime run outside to water a tree during the commercial break.
45 seconds, we're never getting back.
I just planted a brand new emerald cedar. You got to soak it in the morning, they said.
Oh.
So I said, by 9, is that okay? They go, no, earlier. And I said, well, I'm up at 4. They're like, no, not at night, in the morning, like right when the sun comes up. So I run out there for 45 seconds, give it a quick hose, and here we are.
Well, thanks for taking us along for the ride. That was good.
Yeah, shout out Emerald Cedars this morning. Yeah.
Andrew Peters coming up next hour. Peter Labardius as well. Hugh Burrell here with Whatcha Watching.
Tell you what I'm going to be watching tonight, gentlemen. Tuesday Night Football, the time-honored tradition.
Go Bills!
Yeah, it's only the second Tuesday Night Football game in 70 years. The last one was back in 2010, Vikings and Eagles because of a blizzard. But tonight it's the 4-0 Bills at the 3-0 Titans. Somebody's O has got to go. I like Buffalo in this one. They should win that. And we'll also have both LCS games. Braves and Dodgers at 6:05 tonight on Sportsnet. Rays and Astros 8:40 on Sportsnet and on this very radio station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Who do you like? The Rays go up 3-0. tonight?
Well, I'll give you, I like Buffalo to beat the Branch Covidians in Tennessee.
Very nice one. I like that.
I like Los Angeles to even up their series with Atlanta. Just because I think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. By the way, the Dodgers bullpen, that's some scary stuff. And that could be the difference in the series in Atlanta's favor.
Yeah.
And I'll take Houston tonight just because I think it's going to be a 6-game series. So Tampa Bay is going to win the series, but Houston will come away with a victory or two.
Yeah.
What about with Jose Altuve turning into Steve Sachs at second base there?
Yeah, what happened?
He short-armed it.
I heard he didn't have an error all season.
Chuck Knobloch all of a sudden.
And then, of course.
I could have made those throws.
Of course, there's a home run hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Manuel Margot.
Manuel Margot. It's a 3-run home run. They win it 4-2.
You know what, Siggy? I will give you that. You could have made those throws. You can't hit 90 miles an hour, though.
But it'll be fun finding that out.
I think the Braves were, they needed to win that because they've got two rookies coming up in games 2 and 3. That was a huge one for them. Not just coming out playing well in game one, setting the tone, just that you've got Anderson and Wright up, and you need to get that first one because it could have been ugly.
Yeah. Well, and with no days off in the series.
Oh, yeah.
Affects the pitching, right? Hugh, have you heard the deeply thought-out analysis that we now give on this show each and every day?
I heard that, and I was going to run in here to see if everything was okay.
You smelling burnt toast up there in Scarborough?
Things are off the rails. Birds' heads are falling off.
Why do I have a feeling that that is
dogs
now
and cats
installed in our list of drops that we're going to run on the show?
Never, ever going away. Never, ever going away. Why did Taylor Hall choose the Buffalo Sabres? And what can we learn about Jim Vesey, one of the latest Leaf signings, Andrew Peters of WGR 550 in Buffalo? He will join us to discuss those two topics and so much more next. Generally something, now that I'm giving it some thought, that I've tried to avoid in my life.
I actually have a good story. The only problem is I don't remember the guy's name, but here it is. We're all out in Cincinnati. Cincinnati had an AHL team my first year.
Anaheim's affiliate, right? Back in the day?
I don't even remember who they were. Yeah. Well, they had two teams at one point, right? The IHL and AHL, and then they're in the East Coast now. But anyways, we're in Cincinnati, and one of our kind of tough guys, not our fighter, but just a guy that would fight once in a while. We're at the bar, and he starts, like, guys were having too many drinks, and, you know, you start to lip off, and guy looks at you, bumps into you the wrong way. And then the guy's like, yeah, you want to take it outside? And most hockey players are like, yeah, I'll take it outside and give a beatdown, right? The guy wasn't too big that he was going outside with, and he went outside with the guy, and he got one punched outside the bar. He ended up being like one of the best lightweight champions of the time. This is like 2001.
So you
one punched out cold on the sidewalk.
So you think you're the tough guy on the hockey team, and the next thing you know,
somebody says you want to go outside.
Yeah,
you're
and
like,
the next thing,
oh yeah, let's oh, yeah. go outside.
And the next you thing you know, you're in the parking lot with a professional boxer or an MMA guy, and you don't even know it.
No clue.
Somebody trained in hand-to-hand combat. Oops.
And I don't want to embarrass the player. I'm not going to say his name. Sorry. He'll get back. If he'll hear about this, he's going to be so mad.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of shame in getting
decked by...
No. He was not happy about it. He's still not happy about it. 20 years later.
Just don't go toe-to-toe with Mike Tyson.
You gotta be careful.
I wonder what... He was probably seeing stars, and I wonder what was going through his mind as he was lying there on the pavement.
He was thinking...
bang, bang, bang. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. There you go. We're 48 hours away now, a little more than 48 hours away from our trip to the batting cage where you have to live up to your promise that you can hit 90 miles an hour. You're getting the... They're setting the pitching machine up. It's all getting done.
Something actually happened in one of the baseball games last night that might happen to me on Thursday. And I don't know if you saw, but it was Adam Duvall.
He shanked his oblique. I saw
that's
that.
That's what I was thinking of when I'm like, oh man, that's going to be me.
The way he reacted, what was that, first or second inning? The way he reacted on that swing, I could tell right away it was his oblique, the way that he was grabbing at it.
Honestly, that was in my mind all night. Like, I was having nightmares last night, woke up this morning. I'm like, that's probably what's going to happen. That takes a long time to recover from.
Sorry, are you having nightmares about this batting cage experience?
Yes, I am. Yes, this is going to be bad. This is bad.
This is
getting worse. It's going to get even worse tomorrow.
What if you actually stand in that batter's box and make solid contact on the very first pitch? Like,
I'm walking out right into my car, right back home. Like, I'll stop off at A&W for a veggie burger and just do 79 fist pumps. That's what I'll do. I might even order onion rings with it.
Do you go to A&W every day?
No, I go and I celebrate. I used to go a lot. I used to go to A&W. My order used to be when I was working out and everything was all fine and things were in the right spot. I would do a double veggie burger. Sometimes I put cheese on it if it was a good day. And then I load up with the onion rings, and then I do the sweet potato fries with that chipotle like mustard. Oh, but now that's like I need something big to happen. So if I actually hit a 90, I'm going right for the double veggie burger.
A little bit
with the onion rings.
You're living on the edge in COVID times, eh? Celebrating with a with two non meat patties. I mean, party at Ziggy's house. Double the tofu. Just living the dream. Living the dream. We're going to do an hour of scouting here. We got Peter Loubardius of Sportsnet 960's Calgary Flames broadcast joining us in 20 minutes, and we'll do a deeper dive into TJ Brody, one of the Maple Leafs' newest defensemen. The other of the Maple Leafs' newest defensemen, Zach Bogosian, played for the Buffalo Sabres for a few years. Wayne Simmonds was a Sabre pretty recently, end of last season. Jim Vesey, and we'll also get into the Taylor Hall situation. $8 million. I love what Taylor Hall had to say yesterday. You hear that? Oh, what do I have to complain about? I'm making $8 million next year. So how does he fit into the Sabres' plans long-term, or does he? We'll get into all of that and so much more with Andrew Peters of WGR 550 in Buffalo, the co-host with Craig Rivé of The Instigators on WGR 550. That airs 10 to 12 each and every weekday morning. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm getting a little tired of being called Craig Gervais' co-host.
Sorry.
I have the same issue. I have the same issue here.
Let's be honest. He doesn't host anything. He answers questions.
Okay. So is it the Instigators with Andrew Peters with permanent guest Craig Rivé? Is that the way? Is that the way to do
that? That sounds a lot better.
It sounds a lot better, but with how small the world is these days, he's likely to hear about it. So let's just leave it at that.
All right. Well, we'll just call it Andrew Peters with Craig from Tonawanda on the phone line for 2 hours. Craig and Tonawanda on line one.
Well. Not Tonawanda. He'll make damn sure that you know he's from Clarence.
Okay. All right. One of the nicer burbs.
Yeah.
Listen, we've got suddenly here in Toronto a few ex-Sabres on the team. A general question, though, as you observe from a about 100 miles away, Andrew. In your opinion, are the Maple Leafs a more well-rounded and better constructed team today than they were a week ago?
I think so. I mean, I like your Wayne Simmonds addition. I like the Zach Bogosian addition. He got crapped on here in Buffalo so often by people that have no idea what they're talking about. I think he's going to be an awesome fit. And now that he even has a, I'm not even going to say playoff experience. He's won a Stanley Cup. The guy goes one trip to the playoffs and he wins a cup. That bodes well for the Leafs.
Are you worried about, or should we be worried about what Bogosian we're going to get? Are we going to get the Bogosian in Buffalo that maybe struggled at times with a team that, you know, had trouble getting into the postseason? Or are we going to get the guy that, like you said, makes one trip to the playoffs and wins a cup, right? Because you know how those players can, like, sometimes when you're on an established team like Tampa Bay Lightning, everybody kind of plays better. But when things aren't going well or you have tough stretches during the season, you see a different side of a player.
I think it all depends on his health. And I say that I like Zach a lot. I liked him as a player. I think he's a great guy. And I was cheering for him to win. I never played with him. I've only met him a bunch of times and awesome guy. But you ask what Zach Bogosian you're going to get. It all depends on his health. He played through some really hard injuries here, some really tough injuries. And he seemed to be healthy throughout the playoffs. And if he's healthy, he's always motivated. He's a hardworking guy. He's big. He's robust. He's exactly what the Leafs need. I don't like saying that because I don't like the Leafs. But I say that in a fun competition type of banter. I don't say that because you got to be careful, right? I don't say that in a malicious way. I say that in the fun kind of sports banter type of way. But
you're lucky the border's closed. You're lucky the border's closed.
Yeah, right. Well, no, actually, you know what? See, that's where you're wrong. That's been one of the huge screw ups in my life right now is that border being closed. So shame on you for saying that, Ziggy. But no, listen, I think Bogosian's going to be awesome for you guys. I really do. I really do. And I hope not against the Sabres.
With Andrew Peters, Ziggy was talking about this yesterday on our Thanksgiving Monday morning show about the supplement to the core changing and helping the core of this team play bigger. You're a guy who fought a lot in your career, Andrew. How do you define toughness in today's NHL?
Well, no different than I did back when fighting was a lot more relevant and prevalent in the league. I would say willing to take a hit, willing to give a hit. I did not like blocking shots. I would rather get punched in the face than block a shot. But, I mean, block a shot, that's tough. I think, it's not fighting anymore. The new brawls in the game are these multi-scrums that happen after whistles. And I'm fine with fighting out of hockey for the most part, by the way. Let me just lead by that. But there is still an element to the game where there's intimidation. Like, fighting's not out of the game. So now you have a lot less guys that are willing to do it and that have ever done it, now more than ever. And so I think when you have, like, a handful of guys that are not afraid to do it, it makes everybody else a little uneasy. Like, Zach Bogosian, I mean, he's going to make everybody a little bit bigger on that roster. Wayne Simmonds, I don't care how old he is. He still plays the same way. And when he was still a Sabre, we had him on our show down in Buffalo. By the way, unbelievable interview. He's an unbelievable interview. And he was just honest talking about how the players have changed, the game's changed, it's different, but there's still an element of intimidation and toughness to it. I mean, and the Leafs desperately needed that. They desperately needed that. Year after year, that's been, I think, the one thing that they've been lacking, and I think they did a good job of addressing it, to be honest with you. So, you talk about what's toughness. I mean, guys that are willing to go in and break their nose with a hit. I'm not I never talk about fighting anymore. You know, I don't like sounding like a goon. I don't like saying that guy needs to go and fight. But I do believe hockey, there are a certain amount of players that have to play hockey the right way. And then there are four or five guys in each team that can kind of play their own game. And by that, I mean, not really have to engage in the nastiness. But the rest of the players, from your seventh forward and your fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman, they gotta be willing to get their nose dirty.
A lot of people will say, though, after I tell them, okay, we've got Toronto has now Simmons, we have Bogosian, we're getting tougher. They said, well, you had Clifford last year. It didn't really change much. And you mentioned this, and I've talked to Scotty about the last couple of days, is that you need guys that are going to make other players play an inch bigger and a little bit tougher. And we saw that with Tampa Bay last year. They didn't have anybody that was going to go and fight every night, but they did have Patrick Maroon. You've got a guy that plays with some edge, Coleman, Yanni Gord, Gaudreau, right? What is it? Is it the guys calling other players out in the room? Is it like more off-ice stuff, you think? Because when you played, you made other players and guys tougher than they were. What did you do to make your other players play tougher?
I just got dressed and went on the bench. Ziggy, that's how tough I was. No, I'm just joking.
I just showed up. I didn't even put my equipment on. We were good.
I just showed up and everybody was huge. It's not addressing guys in the locker room. You got to have guys there that know their role. You got to have guys. You just mentioned a list of guys on Tampa Bay. You can add Bogosian. They had Braden Coburn. Is it Braden Coburn? Help me out.
Yep.
Braden Coburn, another big, tough guy. Cernak wasn't necessarily a fighter, but he was rugged. Like, you had Bogosian who came in who could do it. You had Pat Maroon. All you need are guys on your team, like Coleman. These guys don't fight. They don't have to fight. Nowadays, you don't need three tough guys. You don't even need one, but you need the other team to know, like, if we decide to go head-to-head with them in this department, that they have that guy over there. And, like, even though there's not 30 majors per guy every year, there's still a significant amount of intimidation and the fact that this guy might have to fight. Like, you go run one of the other team's top players still these days, there's going to be a guy that goes and does something. There has to be. I don't even care if he's a heavyweight. There has to be. That's team toughness. But I think there are a lot of teams that lack that around the league, to be honest with you.
Andrew Peters, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So a number of years ago, Jimmy Vesey, drafted by Nashville, doesn't sign within the window, becomes a free agent, and we believe the Leafs were in pursuit. Ultimately, he settles with the New York Rangers. He's this can't-miss guy, and in three seasons with New York, he scores 50 goals, ends up in Buffalo in the 2019-20 season, last season, and he scores 9 goals in 64 games, 20 points in 64 games. He's a no-risk guy because you're effectively taking a flyer on him for six figures on a one-year contract here in Toronto. He's beneath the variable threshold, Andrew, so they can send him to the Marlies without absorbing a cap hit at the NHL level. What are the Leafs getting here? Where did the production not match the potential? Because Vesey was so hyped 4 or 5 years ago.
He just didn't get into a rhythm. I mean, he came here, he had lots of chances early on, I remember, and he was snake bitten. I mean, he really had a tough start to the season. I think they tried to turn him into a bit of a penalty killer, which I don't know if he loved that or not, but what I was expecting from him was 5-on-5 production. I mean, that was all you ever heard of him was a 15 goals each year, 16 goals each year, and 5-on-5. And he didn't produce to that level. It doesn't matter who you're playing with. I mean, he was getting chances. There were a lot of times where he missed some prime opportunities, but you know, that could be a number of reasons. He never got into a rhythm. And, you know, I don't know if he was comfortable in New York or not, or he just maybe hasn't experienced change yet, because it, you know, changes when you spend 3 years with one team, you get settled in and then you get traded. You know, the change, it's not the culture change or the city change. It's just structure change. It's habits. It's, you know, familiarity, routine. So he might've just never got into a rhythm. So I don't know that that'll change in Toronto, but, you know, I mean, it's not a bad signing if you can figure the player out.
Taylor Hall now signs the biggest one-year contract in NHL history, $8 million for 1 year, 29 years old in November, has a lot of good years ahead of him. Was this a signing where he didn't have anything else for around that kind of number? Like, he didn't get the long-term deal he wanted with the team he wanted? Or was this something?
You believe what you want to believe up there in Toronto, Ziggy. Go ahead. Believe that or, if you want.
Or is this a situation where he actually wants to go to Buffalo to win?
Well, by the tone of your first question, I'm assuming that you don't believe that the second part is true. I do. I do believe that. And you know why? Here's the reason. Here's a guy who I think believes he's a lot more capable of what he did last year. We know what he did in New Jersey when he had his, was it 93 points? He missed some time with an injury, but he had 93 points and won the Hart. If you're a free agent and you're maybe not getting the long-term deals that you might want, and you've decided that, hey, I'll take a short-term deal, where would be the best place for me to go on a short-term deal? And you look around the league and you look at what the Sabres had done by the time they had signed Taylor Hall. I mean, Tobias Ryder isn't blowing anyone's socks off, but I mean, not a bad depth signing. If you can figure him out, right? You know, you traded for Eric Staal. You brought in a couple, you know, depth pieces on defense. But the kicker for this is Ralph Krueger and Taylor Hall had a very good time together in their short time together in Edmonton. And Taylor Hall, I think, remembers how much he enjoyed Ralph Krueger. If Ralph Krueger isn't here, I don't think the deal gets done. Don't mistake me. But I still believe I still believe he's going to look at Buffalo and say, they'll put me on a line with Eichel, and I'm going to take a one-year deal. This could be a pretty good situation for me, whether he stays here long-term or not. And I don't doubt for a second that he signs this deal with zero intention to stay longer. I mean, think about this. If it works in their salary cap and he goes out and he and Eichel both have, say one has 100 and the other one has 95 points, which I think we both can agree is very doable with the two players that we're talking about, especially when you look at what they're going to do in the power play. I mean, why wouldn't he want to stay in an organization where where is he from? Is he from Toronto? I know he was born in Calgary. I know he played in the O.
He's a Kingston kid, right? And then he played in Windsor.
He played in Windsor. I knew that. It's not like he's too far away from home. And he can play a long time with a guy by the name of Jack Eichel, who I think even up there in Toronto, you guys can admit is a pretty unbelievable player.
Yeah, if he signs long-term in Buffalo, I will cross the border that's closed and eat a bucket of chicken wings with you after this year. How about that?
Hey, listen. The fact that he signed a one-year deal blew me away, okay? Like, I was shocked, and it's not because it's Buffalo. It's because he's Taylor Hall. And I thought that he could literally go anywhere, and it seems like he went where he wanted to go. I truly believe that. Do I think he would have taken a long-term deal for more money somewhere if he could have? Who wouldn't? Honestly, who wouldn't? But when you're a free agent in that situation, something we've never seen before, very, very uncharacteristic of free agents in his position to take a one-year deal. I mean, I love this move. I love this move for him, and I think he could set the tone going forward for free agents. You know what I mean? Like, I really do. And how guys approach free agency and betting on themselves, and teams betting on themselves too, to sign this player like Buffalo. That's a huge risk for them. I give them a ton of credit. I really do. The 1 year deal, it gives Jack Eichel an opportunity to play with a player he's never played with and someone made the argument that Taylor Hall played with McDavid in Edmonton, but I don't know how many games they played together. That's an analytic stat that I can't even get into right now. But whether he did or didn't, it wasn't long enough for him to have a career out of it, or for it to be known that he and McDavid had unbelievable chemistry. So I don't think either player have ever played with players of each other's caliber. So I'm really excited for it.
Well, Andrew, as we let you go here, just think on that bet, because as appealing as it may sound to force a vegetarian to eat chicken wings, Ziggy will expect you to pick up the tab. So that's where the bet kind of goes off the rails.
Shame on you, honey garlic. Shame on you for not knowing this. He's a vegan. There's a big difference between vegan and vegetarian.
I've been vegan-splained.
I have some vegan friends.
I've been vegan-splained on this. He's plant-based. He's not vegan because every now and then he eats an egg yolk. I've been taught the technicalities, you know?
What do they say? They say you never talk religion, you never talk politics, and you never mistake a vegan and a vegetarian.
Thanks, Andrew. Awesome stuff.
You guys would get a little more excited about Taylor Hall in Buffalo, okay? Ziggy, stop with the negativity.
Oh, we are. We are.
Have to be hatred.
All right.
I can't wait for the matchups. Can't wait.
Hey, I said this to you 6 months ago. Come on our show. That's how bad my ADD is. But listen, just because the fax machine got jammed so long ago does not mean you still got a whole act against the favorites, all right?
Andrew Peters of WGR 550 in Buffalo. I don't know how to – he's not the co-host. He is the host of The Instigators with Craig Rivé, who calls in from Tonawanda. I believe that is the appropriate way to describe it. Peter Loubardius of Sportsnet 960 Calgary. As we continue our scouting report of the new Leafs, we'll talk TJ Brody, and we'll get into some Flames stuff, Jacob Markstrom in particular, with Peter next. So we've gotten the lowdown on Zach Bogosian, Wayne Simmonds, Jimmy Vesey out of Buffalo. We talked a little Taylor Hall, his decision to go to the Sabres, with Andrew Peters of WGR 550. Now we got to learn ourselves about TJ Brody. Probably talk Jacob Markstrom too. He is our good friend. He is part of the Calgary Flames radio broadcasts on our partner Sportsnet 960 Calgary. He is Peter Loubardius. You are up bright and early. What is it, 6:35 out there or what?
No, because I spend my off seasons not too far from you. I'm in Mississauga, so it's exactly the same time for me as it is for you.
All right.
Okay. Okay, well, so it's not that special that he's
expecting
6:30. Okay.
All right.
We're going to give you all this credit for coming on early, but we'll scrap that.
No, but for sure, throw it right in the nearest toilet. That'd be great.
I'll tell you, Peter, I mean, there's might be a week or two of good weather left, so maybe if Ziggy's up to it, he can invite you and me and a few others over for some tofu burgers in the backyard before we...
come on over.
Before we go into November, the doldrums.
You got to come northeast of the city.
After the weekend, I could use a little tofu.
Did you go heavy? How heavy did you go?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it turned into basically a 3-day affair with the big one on Sunday, a smaller one Saturday, and leftover Monday. So there it's not going to be, day four is going to get the kibosh for sure.
Do you do the pumpkin pie too, or are you just strictly turkey stuffing?
I'm not a huge dessert guy, and I'm not a pumpkin pie person. But, you know, and actually, if you just ate the turkey, it'd be fine. It's all the sides that, get your sides in a different spot when the weekend's over, but that's okay.
The thing, Peter, with stuffing
is it?
It's my fave.
It's probably the most deceiving dish out there because when you look at it, it doesn't look like the big heaping pile of bread that it actually is.
That's so very
it's,
true.
It's just all you're doing is just shoving carbs down your gullet with stuffing, but it doesn't look or have that texture. So it's kind of deceptive that way.
It's true. And I can be the Olympic champion of the stuffing
yes,
world.
Yes, yes. So are we going to fall in love with TJ Brody here in Toronto or what?
In TJ Brody, you're going to get in Toronto an experienced, low maintenance, excellent skating, good defender who's versatile, who I think will fit how the Leafs play very, very well. And you can play him with anyone, and he will be a very reliable player for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is he going to necessarily blow you away on a night-to-night basis? No. It's funny. I've thought a lot about it in preparation for the interview. And, you know, I really thought, gents, that, you know, Ron Hainsey was a guy that was missed last year. Just, and I'm not saying that TJ is Ron Hainsey, but I think he will give the Leafs just that steadying, don't notice me, go about your business, use me on one of the top two pairings. And the fact, you know, I mean, he's played in the league a long time, and he's played in key pairings in Calgary for a long time against other teams' elite players. And to me, that always, always matters. And the other part about TJ that, you know, was a big story last year, you guys might remember, he collapsed one day in practice. It's one of the scariest things I've ever witnessed with my own two eyes in a hockey rink. And I was doing a hit at the time, so imagine what that was like to watch that going on. But I really felt, and he was quick to point it out, that TJ doesn't have a lot to say. You know, I mean, he's not gonna wow you in any interviews, but he cares, and he cares deeply. And he said that that event, when he came back from it and everything was fine, fortunately for him and his family, that it gave him different perspective. And I thought that he played some of his best hockey in years after that particular episode occurred. And I also thought, you know, in the Flames playoff run, he was their best guy on defense.
Do you think that he'll have the same impact on Morgan Rielly in Toronto that he did playing with Mark Giordano?
If they go that way, Mike, I just think TJ is, like I said, and it's completely a compliment. I just think he's very reliable. He's low maintenance. He'll be a really, really good partner for absolutely anyone he plays for. You know, guys rave about him as a teammate, even though from the outside looking in, you know, TJ for me over watching him and for a long time, going back to, you know, watching him in junior and either Saginaw or Barrie, you know, good teammate, but is just, like I said, low maintenance, goes about his job. Guys really, really like him. I mean, it would have been a hard thing this weekend for Mark Giordano because not only were they longtime partners, they're really, really, really close friends. So, you know, TJ will be excited, a guy from Chatham, and be lots and family and friends around, and the $5 million a year will, you know, might cover his tickets in Toronto. And
Maybe not.
And we'll go from there.
It's only $4 million with the escrow, Peter, at least in the term. Although I think it's a backloaded deal too, right? So it's a little bit less off the top.
True.
Jacob Markstrom was the big goaltending get in the offseason, and he lands with the Flames. This is inarguably, in my mind, argue with me if you like, he becomes their best goaltender since Mika Kiprusoff, right? The big
guy. He does, absolutely. Listen, he was the bell of the ball, if you will, as far as the guys that were on the market. And after Robin Lehner, in some ways, set that market in Vegas at 5x5, you know, it's been very, very much a revolving door guys, as you know, Flames have used like 11 different goaltenders in the last 4 years. Yet it's an odd scenario because while no one wants a revolving door in goal, the last 2 years in the playoffs, goaltending has not been an issue whatsoever. So, you know, the turnstile has been on, but in Markstrom, you get someone who's coming off his best year. He's put 3 really solid years together. You know, you take him away from a division rival. It adds to your group. It adds stability. And there is a rumor floating around in Calgary right now that their third jersey is going to be yellow with 3 crowns across it because there's quite a Swedish influence with the group. And I joke about that in one sense. I do. But, you know, Elias Lindholm and Jacob are great, great friends. And Michael Backlund and Rasmus Anderson and Oliver Shellington. You know, I guarantee you that helped in Jacob's decision. But big, coming off his best year, highly competitive. And the thing that I really liked, and I don't always hear this from players, but, you know, here's a guy who got banged up, couldn't play the end of the series against Vegas. We saw Thatcher Demko, and all Jacob Markstrom has talked about is wanting to be better and wants a deeper run and how much he enjoyed, you know, being in this run and being around it. So I always like to hear guys talk about coming off their best years that it's not good enough. I need to work harder and do more.
There was a lot of talk around Gaudreau and Monahan not returning next year with the Flames. Is that cooled off and you think they're going to stay?
It's cooled off for now. Absolutely, Mike. You know, it's a unique situation in the sense that do I and many people feel like the Flames forward group could use a bit of a reconstruction? Yes, I most certainly do. And I know I'm not alone coming off another playoff. Now, the other thing, though, is I'm never a big believer in making trades that create bigger holes than the ones that you potentially already have. But, you know, there's good forwards in Calgary. You know, those two guys, I would say Johnny, for me, has been a bigger disappointment the last 2 years in the playoffs. And, you know, really for Johnny and not as much Sean, because I actually saw excellent growth in Sean's two-way game this particular season. But I do. I think the group needs some reconstruction. And, you know, we'll see if one of those two guys, maybe neither. Maybe they feel like, you know, they've solidified things in goal and they just had, you know, a year where at least they won a play-in round series and a team under Jeff Ward that I think really in these playoffs, I was so impressed by a team that I wouldn't say in the past in recent years has been a harder to play against team, but I found them that way in their two series. So Brad Treleving is a really, really smart guy. And I mean, he's not going to give any of those people away. So, you know, it's cooled down for now, but it's probably going to heat up between now and whenever our season starts again.
With Peter Loubardius, laundry talk is never big on sports talk radio, but I do feel the need to say that the decision to go back to the 80s uniforms is the best decision that the Flames have made this offseason, and they've made some decent ones with Markstrom and others. Those jerseys, I mean, for us, it's nostalgia to childhood. I understand that. But that's a hell of a look, man, especially on the 4K, 20K TVs these days. Brighten it up. It's going to be great.
No, they're awesome. They've been used, especially, you know, the red ones quite a bit in recent years. But I actually, at the outdoor game in Regina, fell in love with, you know, the white one as well. So, Scotty, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think there's any question that they look great. And isn't it awesome sometimes when you just think, and I know it probably depends a little on who you are and your generation, but isn't simple better once in a while in our world?
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. And go back to your roots. I still think the Oilers should be wearing their blue with the orange on the shoulders, like the more royal or whatever blue, as opposed to that navy stuff they got going on with the orange. But
Yeah, I agree.
You know, keep it simple. Well, listen, I hope to see you soon at Ziggy's Tofu Barbecue.
Well, it keeps the waistline down, and, you know, like, generally, if anytime. You have any Mediterranean or Greek in you, you know your way around food. He's good. He's number one. Never mind. He's the best.
Good to hear your voice, Peter. Thanks for doing this,
guys,
giving us insight on Brody.
Pleasure.
You bet.
Take care, guys.
Peter Labardius of Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, part of the Flames broadcasts out in Alberta. We'll get Hugh into studio, get you set for good show next. Still haven't figured out exactly what this is.
It's an old saying we used to have.
Yep.
Really?
It's been around for years.
It's from some movie. I'll dig up the movie. How about that?
Okay.
I'll be my homework.
That's
for the
an
day.
Inside joke, you and Raycroft? Or are you
Fraser
and
knows
of-
that saying. No, I mean me and my buddies say it. Bayam. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's it. I don't know. There's nothing to it. Uh-huh. I am vetoing that we are never using it again, though.
Oh, it's being used.
I know Silent Vic's password to his board.
Oh. Uh-oh. Is it password 123? Because that's mine.
Bosco.
Bosco?
The old Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's a good delayed laugh there. I like that. It took you 5 seconds to buy.
I'm just
Bosco,
thinking.
George Costanza.
Oh. I was thinking of passwords, and I was thinking of Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
New England clam chowder.
Everything goes back to Dumb and Dumber, which should, by the way, have won the Oscar.
It's going to be the name of the show, but they decided... decided on lead off instead.
Vegan and veganer. Vegan and vegan less. Oh my God. Alex Pietrangelo, $8.8 million over 7 years to go to the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas has the lure, man.
Yeah.
That ain't a bad place to live. And if they're going to pay you.
Oh man. I have a friend that lives outside. Everyone thinks of Vegas. They think of the strip and gambling Oh, it's just this crazy party. There are so many nice neighborhoods. My buddy was the golf coach for UNLV.
There's Henderson and Summerlin. There's beautiful places.
Lots of little sneaky good spots to live. It's not too expensive.
You can golf year round.
Prices are reasonable. Yeah, you can golf all the time. I love outside Vegas. I think it's awesome. So it's not hard to lure free agents there. I mean, and the new rink, and they sell out, and I don't know. It's great.
Yeah.
Shows all year round. Great restaurants.
As long as you're not Paul Stastny or Nate Schmidt.
Yeah.
Long term and get moved. Alex Pietrangelo lands and the big domino falls. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Already hump day. Good show is coming up. Sunny Tuesday ahead. Enjoy it. We'll chat tomorrow.